the proportion of people aged 60 years and over in the world will double from 11 to 22% before the year 2050. Now, many countries have seen this as a worthy challenge and are creating various ways to properly care for their aging population, while others continue to not see this as a priority when compared to the other parts of society who are demanding resources. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this episode of 360 View, we're going to look at the various global elderly care systems currently in existence and why some of the higher income countries are refusing to accurately address the problem. Let's get started. While quality of life is improving and medical care continuing to advance is a goal worth achieving, the growing number of an aging population is creating new challenges on society. Now, countries have various ways of handling the care of their elderly, and while some are rising to the challenge, others are letting down their aging population. Now, surprisingly, it is some of the most advanced first world countries who seem to be facing a crisis in their elderly care system. And depending on who you're talking to as to whether the fault is on the government or society itself. Now, Norway, Sweden, and Switzerland are setting a high standard with 100% pension coverage, as well as accommodation by public transport and great in-home care incentives for families. Meanwhile, countries like the United States find themselves pushing the elderly into residences, with care insurance being mainly privatized by large companies. Now, Canada, who has over the last decade spent more funds into drugs and hospitals, has now promised to spend $6 billion over the next decade to address their aging population, money they plan to raise from taxes. But ultimately, the question for a country to decide is whether the best interest for their aging population is for care to be provided from within the family or by residential care and nursing homes. We are joined now by Josephine Karani, a broadcast journalist and media trainer based in Kenya. Welcome and thank you for joining us. You know, Josephine, the World Health Organization has said the number of seniors aged 65 and above could reach 1.5 billion in the year 2050. In that year, the number of elderly will go more significant than the population of children. Now, one of the main reasons is medical advances, increasing life expectancy. So what are the main differences do you see between elder care in Western versus other societies?
Thank you so much for that question. Maybe I need to start on a backdrop of the Kenyan situation. According to the Kenya Population 2019 report that was done in August 2019, the Kenyan population at the current moment stands at 47 million Kenyans. And the elderly are of 65 age and above are about 6% of the total population, which basically translates to about 1.8 million of elderly people. There are more women than men in this category because across board, there are more women than men in our society, basically. And then, of course, the other thing is that the life expectancy of men in Kenya is lower than that of women by about 5 years apart. So yes, the elder care in Kenya is not like in the West where families take their old people to homes, nursing homes. Basically, because of our culture and our traditions, the old people or the people living in their neighborhoods, in their communities, taken care of by their grandchildren, by their sons and daughters. So I don't see that changing very much soon. So that is where we are at the moment. We will be living with our old people in the community. If young people move out and go out to look for work, they will just have to get them either hand help or patch them up with the other family members who are living within the community.
I'm wondering about how it seems like in Kenyan families, they're kept close. Elders are kept in the family home and close to the family rather than putting into nursing homes. Are there nursing homes in Kenya, first off? And what would make a family choose to put their elder in a nursing home rather than keep them in the house?
Okay, maybe what we need to know is that there are no really provisions for those nursing homes in our setups as a community, as Africans. Africans live in extended family, community care. We do not have that structure of having nursing homes for the old or even for people to be taken care of. People are taken care of from their home, from their children's homes, from their households, collectively by grandchildren or by their sons and daughters and other house helps or hand helps that are gotten by the family. So the idea of having old people being put into homes has really not come into the fore. You still live with your old parents, and if you are not able to live with them because maybe you have moved out to look for greener pastures, or maybe you have passed on or something, there is a way, there is some kind of continuity where you get a hand help to help these old people. There is no other place to take them, as it were.
How accommodating is the government when it comes to this? Do they give special motives, special incentives, special understandings to families if they are taking care of their patriarch or their matriarch? I mean, it is expensive.
Yes, the government does support the old people. It is provided for in the government social protection spaces. They get some little amount of money for their upkeep, something like 2,000 Kenyan shillings. $200 per household of an elderly person. And what happens is that the households are mapped through the chiefs. It is known that there is two or three elderly people in this household. So they are documented and they are assisted. Also, assistance is given to vulnerable children and orphans. That is an arrangement that is done by the government. Though the money is very meager, it may not be enough, but the expectations are that families should also chip in and help their older people.
In these households, you know, I understand the elder is always the patriarch or the matriarch of the household. And what that says goes. Does that still go when the parents are living with their adult children? Do they still have that position of hierarchy over their children who are also adults themselves?
Another thing that happens in African society, not only to Kenya, is that most homes are patriarchal. That is, the society is patriarchal, and the men have the say in the society. And sometimes you find that the households or these homes have polygamy in them. You may find an old man has two or three wives, but basically is the homekeeper, is the one, the head of the home. So it's like men have a higher hand or an advantage over how their lives are lived within a community more than the women. And another thing is that should a man die in a household, the women may remain widows and may not remarry, because basically most widows don't remarry, but men do marry. Should you be having one wife and your wife passes on, even at a very advanced age, most men will marry because the society or their feeling is that a man cannot live alone. They have to get a woman with them. So then it so happens that most households are patriarchal. They are the men call the shots. So women are more like subdued. But interestingly, it's women who keep the homes going. They are the backbone. They are the ones who work. They are the ones who bother with the children. Most times more than even the fathers or the men.
You know, I'm really curious talking with you on this, because is this how it's always been, or have you seen culture and society change in any way from your grandparents' generation to what you're seeing currently in the present? I mean, are you seeing society and pop culture affecting this sort of relationship?
Yes, I think growing up, I think that's how I've seen it happen. Nothing much has changed. The culture and traditions are deeply embedded in societies, and the way people have been socialized, the way socialization has taken place, really nothing much has changed, and the status quo has not been shaken so much. So this is how it has been, and this is how I'm seeing it going. I don't know whether very soon or later it will change, but that is how it has been for over the years, and that is being handed down from generation to generation with very little variations, maybe depending on the setup in different households.
Very, very interesting. Josephine, thank you so much for chatting with us. Please stay with us, because we're going to be right back. I want to continue this conversation about global elder care with our guest. Stay tuned.
The discovery of the New World at the end of the 15th century, there appeared Atlantic slave trade. The slave traders from European countries started building forts on the western coast of the African continent to transport the African inhabitants to America to be forced into hard labor. Until the middle of the 17th century, Portugal had played the main role in this atrocious business. Then Great Britain, France, and the Netherlands took the leadership. For the span of 400 years of legal and illegal slave trade, about 17 million people were forcefully shipped across the Atlantic, not including those who died on the way due to unbearable living conditions. Modern historians estimate that for each slave shipped to America, there were five who died while captured, during transportation, and cruel obliteration of rebellion. This ruthless people trade practiced by the leading European countries took away tens of millions of African lives. The Organization of United Nations classifies the transatlantic slave trade as one of the gravest human rights abuses in the history of humanity. This is the biggest act of deportation of people ever seen by mankind.
During the Second World War, in Nazi-occupied Poland, Volhynia was a farming region. Today it's part of Ukraine. Between 1943 and 1945, members of the Ukrainian insurgent army led by Stepan Bandera massacred thousands of Poles in Volhynia in a diabolical ethnic cleansing process. The murders were particularly horrific and brutal. Villages were burned and property looted. The Volhynia massacre is without doubt one of the bloodiest episodes in Polish-Ukrainian history. Why are Ukrainian politicians still reluctant to talk about these events? How do modern-day Ukraine and Poland view this tragedy of the past? And why does the memory of Volhynia still divide people?
Welcome back. We are joined once again by broadcast journalist Josephine Karani out of Kenya. Now, she is joined us talking about elder care throughout the world. Thank you so much for joining us, Josephine.
Thank you.
You know, in the previous segment, we talked about society and culture causing potential changes within the structure of the family. Do you think this is also changing with employment opportunities that might be coming up within society?
Thank you so much for that question. Yes, talking about elder care globally and more so locally at home. As African culture, we are embedded in extended family through culture and socialization over the years. So really, not much has changed. In my view, we have continued handing over generations on how we handle our older people, how we take care of them, how we live with them within the community. And really, we don't find it easy to let them go into nursing homes or even out of our sight. We live with them within our setups. And if it so happens that there is nobody left to take care of them, then there's a way that the family comes together and looks for a hand help to help these old people. But they are not relinquished out there to a common children, I mean, a common nursing home or a home for the elderly. There is no provision for that in our local setups. Really, I don't know, maybe that will change with time, and maybe there are some few minimal elderly homes, but most times people live with their old people within the community.
Do you have very much transitioning happening within Kenyan families? As young people finish school and they go off to get jobs, do they usually move away from the home, maybe to more urban areas? And in those situations, do they come back home when it's time to care for their parents?
Most times what happens is young people will leave the home to go out and look for jobs in the cities, in the towns, in the neighborhoods. But the fact that that happens is they are still tied to the community. A scenario is that there is a family home, there is a father, probably there is a mother and their children. Once they grow, they will move to their households. And these parents will be left within their home, the two of them or the three of them, depending if a man has more than two wives. But the young people and their children will still feel that they need to take care of them. They'll still feel indebted because society expects you to do that. Culture expects you to do that. Tradition expects you to do that. You cannot abandon your old people because that is how you have been socialized. That's how you have lived. The Ubuntu in Africa is here to stay, and you have to really take care of the old people and provide for them where you can.
What happens when the parents start to have issues of dementia or other health issues, mental illness? How is that handled? Are they able to stay in the home?
Oh, then I think when that happens, like any conflict, there's a problem because then in some instances, some of the old people will suffer, some of them will be desolate and maybe run into problems. There are those issues, but the community and administration normally deals with the issues like that. Maybe if there is a case like that, the chief would be involved and maybe they could come and mitigate within the household or in that home where there's that problem. The neighbors would report that there's an issue in a certain home, and maybe the neighbors would come and help, and the community would be your brother's keeper. They watch out for each other.
You know, it's interesting. You talked to us about how there is money that is provided for keeping the elderly in your home that's helped to support it. Are there other government structures, other maybe even NGOs that step in for support? You know, we're finding here in the United States, cities increasingly are introducing laws such as the Paid Parent Act, where people are paid if they have to take off work. And an employee can take up to 3 months off of work and be paid while they have to care for an elder. Is there any sort of that equivalent in Kenya?
Okay, there are many ways that the government and the community comes in to assist the elderly. Maybe I should just talk about the government provisions. First, there's the Social Protection Fund, which the government makes use to give the old people who are documented through the local leaders, the chiefs, who document any old people who are over 65 years and who need help. And most times they will deal with cases of where they do an audit of a home, they see whether that home has children or other members of the family who are able to take care of those old people. If they find that the cases are pathetic, then they would list those old people for them to get some support. Actually, you get about 2,000 shillings a month, which is about $20 for assistance for the old people. That is a government fund that has been passed by Parliament, and it's normally distributed by the chiefs and the local administration, those that have records of the old people. In other instances, the old people, those who have retired, remember that everybody gets old. You may have been a public servant in your duties, and when you retire at 60 years, there's pension for you to carry on with your life. And so you are able to be paid and continue having a livelihood. Then the other interventions are medical, probably. We have the National Hospital Insurance Fund, where you can register anybody who needs help for hospital funding, and you get deducted about $5 a month, every month, for you to be able to access any services in the hospitals once you are sick and you are hospitalized. That is another way the government has come in. And then for other issues like people who are public servants, who are state officers, and even individuals, there is a fund which you contribute to called National Social Security Fund. And once you are out of employment, then this money is sent to you so that you are able to use it, because it's like it was your savings for the period when you were working as a public servant. So those are some of the interventions that government has done. But of course, on the other hand, there is private insurance. You can have private insurance from the different organizations or the different insurance companies. If you are an old person, your children can get you insurance for you so that when you are sick, you are able to be attended to. So there are many interventions through the government and through private sector that try to help continuity in old people's lives.
That's amazing. That's really, really good. And Josephine, I want to thank you so much for joining us from Kenya. You're a broadcast journalist, media trainer, and obviously very knowledgeable in how the elders are treated within your country. And I really thank you for sharing your expertise.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
This is an issue very dear to my heart, as my own family is struggling with how best to care for our elders. This is a picture of my family, and while there are multiple challenges every day, it has always been given that my mother and father would share in our home when the time came. As an only child, this has sometimes not been easy, but I know I'm doing the right thing out of respect and love for everything my parents have given to me. It was the same thing that my mother did for her parents, as well as her aunt, who was unable to have children. She modeled to me that this was how our family handled the care of our eldest generation. There's something extremely rewarding about having those who have already experienced so much life share their insights with the next generation. I'm greatly saddened by how my own government has not made it a priority to incentivize families to give as much care as possible in their own home. Rather, for those families who might not have the economic resources, they are almost forced to put their loved ones in a group home. Sometimes these group homes are understaffed, and the resources provided to both the caregivers and the patients are extremely limited. I do believe this is a result of America being such a new country, as evident by those families from other cultures who come to America still preserve their tradition of caring in-house for their elders. Bravo to all of those countries around the world who try everything they can to invest in the family from the oldest to the youngest, as each plays a very important role. And I do believe it is in the best investment for a society's future success. This has been your 360 View. I'm Skye Noel Hughes. Thanks for watching.